Everybody, I sincerely apologize for not being here this week. Unfortunately, my father is in the hospital. He's now home. Things are recovering. They're okay, but we spent a lot of time there. So now let's continue with our regular shiur, and thank you to Rabbi Ettingoff for filling in the last couple of days. I saw a letter this past week that was penned by the great Rav Shimshon Pinkus. Now, unfortunately, he passed away very tragically a couple of years ago at a young age, but they've subsequently printed many of his writings and many of the different Divrei Torah that he used to share. So one of the letters that's printed in his name is actually a letter that he wrote. I did the math. It was when he was 20 years old, either 19 or 20 years old. It has the Hebrew date there on the letter, and it's amazing to see what a sensitive soul he had at 20 years old. And it's no wonder, after you see this letter that he wrote, that he became a real Adam Gadol, a really special individual as he grew to be older. So listen to the beginning of this letter. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's very relevant to this week's parsha. He says, "Ze achshav niskala li hergish chadash. I now have a feeling that is a new feeling that I've never had before. Kishayashavti bebeis hamedrish vilamadati." He says, "I was sitting at night and I was learning in the Beis Medrash. I'm 20 years old. I'm not yet married, and I'm sitting in yeshiva. Ukvarnis acher hazman, and it's late at night. Viibadati hacheshek, and I lost interest. I wasn't so interested in continuing to learn. It was late already. V'hayisi misupak im lahavsik olo. And I'm going through a calculation in my mind. Should I go back to my room and just go to sleep or whatever, do something else? Or should I continue to remain here and study a little bit more Torah in the Beis Medrash? V'alu b'machshavti kama inyanim." He says, many different factors went through my mind. Number one, he says, and most obviously, sha'ayef ani, I'm very exhausted. I wouldn't mind just going to sleep. He says, on top of the fact that I'm very exhausted, I already made up my mind that I'm not interested. So what else am I going to learn? I'm not going to be interested in whatever it is that I'm going to pull out a sefer to learn. He said, maybe I said to myself, I'll take out a sefer Musar, it's a little bit lighter than the Gemara Baba Kama, or I'll start to read some Tehillim. And then he said, I'm not really interested in that either. So maybe just forget all of this. And I was wondering, I was calculating all this in my mind, whether or not I should, I shouldn't, I should go back to my room, I should stay here, what I should learn and how I should learn. And then he writes the following. He said, I finally came to the following recognition. And that is, something shelo ala al daiti af pam. While I was going through this whole calculation about whether or not I should stay, I should go, I should go to sleep, I should continue to learn, I should learn Tehillim, I should do something lighter, he says, throughout all of this deliberation in my mind, it didn't enter my mind even once. Mahu ritzona shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu berega zu. What does God want me to do at this moment? What does the Ribono Shel Olam expect a person to be doing? So I make all the calculations in my mind, and never once does it cross my mind, well, what does God have to say about this question that I'm facing? And he said, all of this was something that was so new to me. La'alsa b'machshavti lasos mishum sha'akudish baruch hu rotza kein. Even if I would have decided that the right thing to do is to stay in the Beis Medrash, he said, I wasn't doing it because God told me to do so. I was doing it because I thought that it was the right thing to do. And he said, this was for me a pivotal moment. Because he said it was the first time that it dawned on me that whenever one is faced with any kind of question in life, we have all kinds of calculations in our mind of what we think and why we should or why we shouldn't. And he said, never do we actually take a step back and ask ourselves, what does the Ribono Shel Olam want for me? What does he feel would be the appropriate choice for whatever it is that I'm facing in front of me, a decision that has to be made? And Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes again at 20 years old that this was something that to him was an incredibly inspiring moment, because it was the first time in his life that he ever invited and engaged HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself into the conversation. The reason why I mention this is because, as we know, last week and again this week in the Parsha Yisrael Mishpatim, we read the great details of the moment of Kabbalah HaTorah. And as we know, by Kabbalah HaTorah, the Gemara says, based on a pasuk in Sefer Devarim, Hashem mi Sinai ba, vizarach mi Seir lamo, Hofia mehar paran ve'asa mirivivo kodesh. Why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu traveling all over the world and then finally he comes to Har Sinai to give us the Torah? So Rashi there comments, and it's a Gemara, and it's a Medrash, where we learn the story of Hashem first went to Bnei Esav, and he asked them if they want the Torah. And as we know, the Medrash tells us that he informs them of the mitzvah of Lo Sirtzach. And they say, oh, Lo Sirtzach, what do you mean? We stand for Achar B'chot Tichya, that's not going to work for us. Then he goes to Bnei Yishmael, and there he tells them, what was it, Lo Signov, Lo Sinov. He goes to all the nations of the world, and everybody obviously declines, everybody feels that this was something that was not appropriate for them. When you read this story on a very basic level, you say to yourself, is God really that evil? Is God really that unfair, Kavayachol? You go to a nation, and you point out to them the one mitzvah that you know is impossible for them to keep. Imagine God would come to us and say, first thing, the first selling point, I'd like you to accept the Torah because there's a mitzvah that you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara. We would say, forget it. Who's going to live by that? The Chafetz Chaim? How many people in a generation can live by that? We're Jews. We like to talk. We like to talk about each other. We enjoy politics, whatever it is. Who's going to live by that? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to all the Umas HaOlam and he says, exactly the one mitzvah that he knows is impossible for them to keep? Is that really fair? Does it make sense? It's almost like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is discriminating against them. Almost sounds, kaviyachal, like it's unethical. How do you present them with the one mitzvah that you know is against their very nature? And the answer, I think, perhaps could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching them at that moment, what does it mean to live a life of Torah and mitzvahs? What does it mean to accept the Torah? It means that a person can be the greatest intellect, a person can have the most brilliant mind, you can have all your ideas, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you put all of that aside, and whatever you think is the right way to live life is not the answer. What you think the right decision in life is not necessarily the right answer. I want you to look in the Torah and put aside all of your predispositions and put aside all of that which you feel is your temperament and your habit and your inclination and your tendencies. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I have a higher order. And sometimes you're going to say to yourself, it's not the decision I would have made. I would not have said that this should be the law. I would have wanted life to be different. So somebody called me the other day and said he was learning Mishnayos with his child. And as they got up to the Mishnah Maseches Ksubas, where the Mishnah says, a woman who was taken, Isha Shenishbeis, a married woman who was taken away by captors, and now they took her on a boat somewhere, we have to assume that she was Mizana on that boat. Obviously it wasn't her choice, she didn't want to, but yet she was raped, and the Halacha is, says the Mishnah, that woman is not allowed to return back to her married status with her husband. Why? Because she had an extramarital affair. So this person told me as he was learning the halacha with his son, as he was learning the Mishnah, so he had another child who was listening and said, how could it be? How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say such a thing? If a woman goes and does something on her own will and she makes a choice, it's one thing. But you're going to tell me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what kind of ethics and morality is that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to break up a marriage because somebody else raped her? How is that fair? The answer is, it's a very good question. It's a very good question. I don't know what the answer is. This man asked, he called me up and he said, what am I supposed to tell my child? I think it's actually a valid question. And I think it's a valid question as well. But at the same time, there are many different things in the rules of the Torah and the way it was given where that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Your intuition may have been otherwise. Your natural tendency would have been to say something else. But I'm telling you, I gave you the Torah and this is the rule book for life. This is the only way to live life. And you put all of that aside, all of your ideas, all of your suggestions have to be put aside. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is the way to live life. You have to learn to ignore and to discount and discredit and pay no attention at all to what you may have thought is the right decision in life. Like Rav Shimshon Pinkus said, you have to invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the decision-making process. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want me to be doing now? How would He want me to act in whatever situation I'm being faced with? And this really perhaps is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching the nations of the world by the occasion of Kabbalah Satorah. I'm going to point out something to you that goes against everything that you stand for. Yes, your nation stands for Lo Sirtzach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you a Torah that says Lo Sirtzach, even though it's something that's so difficult for you to do, but that's what it means to live a life of Torah mitzvahs, that you have to be able to overcome. You have to be able to submit yourself and to surrender and to relinquish and withdraw yourself from the equation and just put HaKadosh Baruch Hu first, as uncomfortable as sometimes that might be. I was thinking maybe that's the reason why when we put on the tefillin every day, we first put on the tefillin Shel Yad, and only after that we put on the tefillin Shel Rosh. As we know, Klal Yisrael in this week's parsha say, Na'aseh v'nishma. They first say, we will do, we surrender ourselves. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us to do, that is exactly what we're going to do. And only afterward, v'nishma, only after that will we try to understand it. Meaning, even if we don't understand a particular mitzvah, we will perform it anyway, because that is what it means to be a servant of God, to be an Eved Hashem. Perhaps that is why we put on the tefillin first, to show we are willing to do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us. Only afterward do we put on the tefillin shel rosh, which is our understanding, our intellect. We'll think about all the mitzvahs, we'll try to perform it to the best of our understanding, but we will perform it regardless of whether or not we understand it. We first put on the tefillin shel yad, and only afterward the tefillin shel rosh. Sir Rav Asher Weiss, every year on these parashiyos, says the very same comment, and that is, Tosas asks a question, where Tosas wants to know, how could it be that we have on the one hand, Klal Yisrael says, Nasa v'nishma, it sounds like that was our choice, like we elected, like we decided we wanted to accept the Torah. We were going to do this tremendous undertaking. Yet at the same time, the Torah says that Kafa Aleim Har Kikigas, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu almost forced us. He coerced us into accepting the Torah. And this was not something that was a voluntary decision on our own. It's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed upon us as a people. So Tosas says, how do you understand that? On the one hand, God forced us. On the other hand, we accepted. So Tosas himself gives an answer. Rav Asher Weiss gave his own interpretation, and this is something that he repeats every year, and I always have been inspired by it. And he said the following. Put yourself in the situation of the Jewish people of that generation. He said they were at a level that no generation has ever experienced. They were seeing images and sights that no Jew, that no human being has ever seen. Even the simplest person who was traveling through the Yamsuf saw greater visions and was able to feel and sense the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu more prominently than the greatest of Nevi'im, than Yechezkel by the Maaseh Merkava. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he says, who wants the Torah? Which Jew is going to say no? We know, unequivocally we know, that this is obviously the truth. You are the one who performed all these miracles. We've watched what you've done. Now you're coming to offer us something. Of course we're going to say Nasa v'nishma. Who would say no? Said Rav Asher Weiss, that is precisely why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kafa Aleim Har Kigigas. Although it's obvious and it's glaring to you now that this is undeniably the greatest choice of your life, that this is the absolute right thing to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want you to also understand that this is Kafa Aleim Har Kigigas. When you come to a time in your life when there are things that you will not understand, when there are problems that you're going to have based on the societal norms of your generation, and you're going to say it's so antithetical to everything that the Torah stands for, what do we do now? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, in moments like that, even when you don't have that clarity, when you don't feel the Nasa v'nishma, when you don't understand that this is absolutely the choice that I want to make, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even in generations like that, Kafa Aleim Har Kigigas, you have accepted upon yourself to be a servant of God, to be an Eved Hashem, and that means that you accept it unconditionally, and it's something that is definitive, it's something that is absolute, and it's something that will be enduring and everlasting regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstance. So the Beis HaLevi has a very famous comment that he makes on Parshas Kisisa, and there, as we know, in just a few weeks' time, we're going to read of the terrible, painful mistake of the Chet HaEgel. And all the Mefarshim are bothered. How is it possible you have Klal Yisrael who just went through the Yom Suf, they accepted the Torah, and now they're going to serve the Egel? How could it be that they fell to such a terribly painful place? They made such a horrific mistake just a few weeks after they had accepted the Torah. How is it possible that they changed so quickly from one perspective to the other? Many different interpretations have been given, but the Beis HaLevi writes the following. He said, he is of the opinion, and the truth is that we find the kernel of this idea in the Sefer HaKuzari already. He says it must be that we have to believe that the Jewish community of the time had every positive intention when they were building the Egel. After all, he says, they went to Aaron HaKohen, and they went to Aaron and they asked him, how should we build this? Are you crazy? Do you think the God of Adar, Aaron HaKohen, is going to agree to go serve Avodah Zarah? What are you thinking? Why would you go ask him? Writes the Beis HaLevi, really, they had in mind something that was a positive. They said, we need to have a way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if our leader is gone, if Moshe Rabbeinu is not here, and he cannot show us exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, we will build it on our own. Not because we want to serve someone else, but because we want to have a way of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bringing his Shechina into this world. And therefore, that is precisely the reason why they went to Aaron. They asked him, you're the greatest member of the Jewish community who's alive today. You are the one we're going to consult. We're going to ask you exactly how to do it. So what was wrong? So they made a mistake. What was wrong? Writes the Beis HaLevi, what was wrong was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell you to do this. so it feels good, and it smells good, and it sounds good, and it's an idea that everyone agreed to, but it's not good. Why is it not good? Because that's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam asked you to do. That was the crux of the issue, and it was as simple as that. Says the Beis Halevi, that's what can lead to a mistake of an Egel Azav to serving Avodah Zarah. If a person starts deciding, I have ideas, I have suggestions of what I think the greatest way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and it's not Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, it's not exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had asked you to do, all of that is something that is unacceptable, and look what it leads to. Says the Beis Halevi, isn't it strange, in Parshas Pekudei, when we have all the instructions of building a Mishkan, he says in almost every pasuk, the Torah says, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. So, God instructed Moshe to build a Mishkan, and to build a Mizbeach, and to construct it exactly in this fashion. And in every pasuk, we repeat it again and again, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. It sounds like it's unnecessary. Why does it have to keep repeating the same phrase? Says the Beis Halevi, because this whole story of the building of the Mishkan was meant to be a compensation. It was meant to be the atonement for the mistake that they made by the Chet HaEgel. And what was the mistake there? The mistake was that it's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam asked you to do. And the only way to make good for that mistake, the only way to offset and to reconcile the terrible blunder, the terrible error that was made by the Jewish community of the time, the only way to outdo that mistake is to go about building something Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Every step of the way, exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us to do, that is all we are going to do and nothing more and nothing less. Let me just close the Beis Halevi writes one further insight about this, and he says, the Yerushalmi writes in Masechet Shkalim, that the Kruvim were made out of Zahav Tahar, the Kruvim that were put on top of the Aron were made out of pure gold, and it says in the Yerushalmi, Yavo Zav Shal Kapores, V'yechaper Al Zahavo Shal Ha'egel. This Kruvim that you make out of the Zahav Tahar, out of the pure gold, is going to be the atonement for the mistake of the Egel. What's the connection between the Kruvim and the Egel? Well, writes the Beis Halevi so beautifully, perhaps the way to understand this is that the Kruvim were the ones that signified our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we know, Pneiem Ishalachev, they were hugging each other. It was to show and highlight how close we feel, and how close Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels to the Jewish people, how much love there is between us and Kudsha Brichu. And yet, he writes that the only way that a person can develop that love, the only way a person says, you know, I want to feel spiritual, I want to do something that's going to make me feel Ahashras Hashchina, close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, writes the Beis Halevi, the only way to do that is if that gold is situated immediately on top of the Aron HaKodesh. If every decision that's made in your relationship with God is based on the sources, is based on the Torah that's inside of that, not based on myself, says the Beis Halevi, the only way to be mechaper on the terrible mistake of the Egel is the Kruvim. And the Kruvim were situated immediately on top of the Aron HaKodesh to remind us that the only way to have and to develop a meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is if a person is willing to surrender, if a person is willing to submit him or herself to the truth and the absolute nature of what the Torah represents. And that, he says, is what it means when Klal Yisrael said, Nasa v'nishma. We accept it upon ourselves unconditionally at the time of Kabbalah HaTorah, that this is something that we are going to eternally live by, regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the time. This is something that is eternal and everlasting, and it is something that will guide us for all posterity and for all eternity. Reb Hanani ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah, Kadosh Baruch Hu,